Every day, Jesus gives us an incredible gift, and sadly, we often ignore his generosity. What is that gift? We're going to discuss it on this episode of The Gary Zimak Show. Stay tuned, because here we go. Hello and welcome to the Thursday edition of The Gary Zimak Show. I'm Gary Zimak, glad to be with you here again on Blog Talk Radio. So what is this gift that Jesus gives us, this gift that he gives us every day? We will talk about it today when we discuss the daily mass readings. I'll give you a little hint. That gift is the gift of the Eucharist. Are we taking advantage of this gift? Are we trying to do what we can to get to daily mass? I realize that it's not possible for everybody, but the question we have to ask ourselves is this: can I make it to one extra daily mass each week? One. Maybe two, maybe three, but how about just one? Can I do it on Saturday? And the answer may still be no, but I just think we need to talk about this because of this incredible gift that Jesus gives us. He gives us so many graces available in the Eucharist. And we're going to see this offer in the gospel today. Are you rejecting his offer, or are you accepting it? You know me, I like to stretch you a little bit. I like to challenge you, because that's why I'm here. It really is great to be back here. It's another warm day here in southern New Jersey. I hope you're doing well. Well, I do have to tell you, I have to say one thing. I've got a brand new beverage du jour today. Are you ready for this one? Let me go to the beverage right off the bat. Here we go. Okay. That is really good. Now, I'm going to give you a hint. It's a clear liquid. You know what it is? It's carbonated. Okay, you give up? It is birch beer. That's right. Now, some of you may know this, that there are some brands of birch beer that are clear. Most times it's brown, or it's got a bit of a reddish tint, but this birch beer is clear. This is made by the Polar Beverage Company. I picked up some of this in Boston when I was there last week. It's really good stuff. I love birch beer. It's one of those sodas that I really enjoy drinking. That's my beverage du jour. I hope you got a great snack. Today was, I thought, an appropriate day for a nice, cool snack, whatever. And I hope you're relaxed, comfortable, and ready to talk about this. I heard these daily mass readings when I was at mass this morning, and I thought, you know what? This is really powerful. I really want to explore this on the program today. So I'm glad that we can talk about the daily mass readings. As I've been doing for the past couple of weeks, I want to remind you about Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary, September the 4th. Get ready. I was updating my email mailing list today. I will be getting ready to send out a newsletter very soon. So make sure you get on my mailing list. Go to followingthetruth.com and submit your email address, and just respond to the email that you get in return to make sure you let my mail service know that you're a real person. And then I'll send out a mailing list, an email newsletter about the Total Consecration, some of the details. But you already know, if you're a regular listener to the program, all you need to do is show up on September the 4th and get ready to begin the 33-day preparation for Total Consecration to Jesus through Mary this year. I'm calling it the best of the best. I'm using the best of all of the available preparation methods. There is no book you need to read. And I want to simplify it this year. I want to simplify it and at the same time make it as effective as possible. So we're going to use a lot of different readings. We're going to use a lot of different sources. But I think this is really going to help you to better prepare to make your total consecration. You're going to get quite an assortment. And don't get hung up over the fact that we don't have a book. You don't need a book. A lot of us are used to using a book, but it's not absolutely necessary. And I think sometimes the book can get a little distracting. So we're not going to use a book this year, because I really want to keep it simple. And I want to make sure that this is a very dynamic and powerful preparation. Because what can happen is we can get too hung up in the book and really miss the point of what we're doing. So I want to make sure that we don't do that this year. So any questions you may have, email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. But all you need to do is show up on September the 4th, which is a Sunday. And one more quick reminder, that the weekend programs, because we're going to run straight through, the weekend programs will be 15 minutes in length, and the weekday programs, Monday through Friday, will be 30 minutes in length. So you get a little bit of a break on the weekend. And as I've been telling you, if you miss a few episodes, don't panic. Keep on going. Don't fall for the trick the evil one likes to get in our minds sometimes. And he's not the only one. Sometimes we're our own worst enemies. We get this idea that if I missed a day, it's not worth going on. That's not true. Keep on going no matter what. You want to keep going no matter what, even if you miss a few days. But at the same time, I want to urge you to take this seriously. Take it seriously and try to do the best you can, okay? So keep that in mind. Let's see. September the 4th, we begin total consecration. I'm trying to think if there's any other new news. My latest book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, which is a 365-day devotional specifically designed for worriers, that's tentatively due to come out October the 15th. I'll keep you posted about that. I haven't heard any updates lately. I'm waiting on the cover art. Supposedly that's going to be happening very soon. So I'll keep you posted on that. Also remember that I would love to come to your parish to speak. I have one opening for an Advent mission, and I have one, possibly two openings for a Lenten parish mission. So let me know as soon as possible if you are interested. Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Also remember, your donations are critical, especially during the summer months, as are your purchases from the Amazon link on followingthetruth.com, followingthetruth.com, and the Mystic Monk link. So if you want to get yourself some good coffee, I know it's summer, but if you're somebody like me who likes to drink coffee even in the summer, check out the great coffee available from Mystic Monk Coffee at followingthetruth.com. And I thank you in advance for helping me out and keeping me operational even during these lean summer months. All right, let's say a prayer. Let's turn to our Heavenly Father, and then we'll talk more about these daily Mass readings. They are really good, and I think you will come to a better appreciation. That's what this is all about. You know, so much of our spiritual journey, growing closer to Jesus, it has to do with appreciation, better appreciating the gifts that He gives us, and better appreciating exactly how much He loves us. So let's keep that in mind as we pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for giving us a new day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for blessing us in so many ways. Thank you for always being there with us no matter where we go. Thank you for the graces that you give us to enable us to walk on the path that will lead one day to eternal life with you in heaven. Grant us the strength that we need, Father, to continue desiring life with you and being able to fight against the temptations that we face every day. Father, I ask you to bless us and our family members, bless those around us. Please help anyone who is sick, anyone who is anxious, anyone who is lonely, anyone struggling with doubt or despair, and anyone battling addiction, anyone who is homeless, anyone who is homebound, anyone dealing with extreme weather conditions, such as our brothers and sisters in Louisiana and Mississippi right now. Please help those who are struggling financially. I offer this show up to you, Father. And I ask you to take over, to use me in any way you wish today. Speak through me and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. I present to you all of our own personal needs, whatever they may be. We give them to you, Father. We say, handle them for us because you know what's best in our lives. Please put an end to abortion. Please increase vocations. Please bless all of our priests, our religious, and our deacons. Please help our government officials to always follow your laws. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And now we turn to our Blessed Mother Mary, and we ask for her prayers, as together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, I thank you for tuning in. My name is Gary Zimek. So glad to be with you on the program here. And we are counting down the days until we enter into preparation for total consecration. This is the sixth year in a row that I've been doing this. I hope you'll join us. There is no obligation. There is nothing to worry about. Not going to cost you anything. All you need to do is begin on September the 4th. Listen to the program for the next 33 days and get ready. Get ready to consecrate your life, or to reconsecrate it if you've done it already. It's a renewal to Jesus through Mary. It's an incredibly powerful devotion. I couldn't recommend it any stronger. It is a very much a life-changing experience. And it's one that is not going to hurt you in any way. There's no downside to this devotion. So if you're trying to lead a better life, if you're trying to become a better Christian, check it out. There is power in this total consecration. If you want to find out more, I did a program on it. But the easiest thing to do would be to look at followingthetruth.com and check out one of my latest blog entries. I think it might be the latest one, where I talk more about total consecration. I have a link to the program, the radio program that I did talking about it. So check that out, and I think it'll answer a lot of your questions. All right, I want to do these readings now. This is Thursday of the 18th week in Ordinary Time. The 20th week in Ordinary Time. Today's Thursday, the 18th of August, the 20th week in Ordinary Time. The first reading is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 23 through 28. Thus says the Lord, I will prove the holiness of my great name, profaned among the nations in whose midst you have profaned it. Thus the nation shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when in their sight I prove my holiness through you. For I will take you away from among the nations, gather you from all the foreign lands, and bring you back to your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you to cleanse you from all your impurities, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you, taking from your bodies your stony hearts and giving you natural hearts. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes, careful to observe my decrees. You shall live in the land I gave your ancestors. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. When we look at this reading, we're reminded of our baptism. When you were baptized, obviously water was used, and you received for the first time the Holy Spirit. All of that is evident in this reading. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we don't often appreciate the gift of our baptism as much as we should. We don't really think about it. A lot of us take it for granted, especially those of us who are cradle Catholics like myself. We sometimes just take it for granted, but it is nothing to be taken for granted. Not only does baptism wipe away our original sin, so when we're born with the stain of original sin, which means you can't get into heaven that way. But here's the thing. Once we are baptized, we are freed from the stain of original sin, and we are incorporated into the mystical body of Christ. The mystical body of Christ, which is incredible. What a great gift. We become part of Christ's body. Now, I know that gets a little abstract, gets a little conceptual, and I mean, how can I picture this? How am I going to think of myself as being part of Christ? But me and you, And all of our other brothers and sisters who have been baptized into the church, we are all part of Christ. We're in him. We're part of his body. And St. Paul talks about this. It's a hard concept. It's a hard concept to picture. But it's a powerful concept. I mean, we can all say that, yes, we are part of the body of Christ. We're part of his body. But it's hard to picture that. Like, what part are you? Are you the finger? Or, you know, are you the toenail? I mean, it's a little goofy when you think about it that way. But just think of the concept. How do you get any closer to Christ than to be part of his body? And who do we have as a mother since we're part of Christ's body? We have our Blessed Mother. We have a common Father. We have the Holy Spirit working in us because the Holy Spirit worked in Christ to help him do what he was supposed to do, to carry out his mission. So we've got all of that as part of the church, and it's a great gift. Psalm 51, once again, has the reference to baptism, the water, and the Holy Spirit. I will pour clean water on you and wash away all your sins. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall return to you. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer you a burnt offering, you would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, contrite and humbled, O God, you will not spurn. I will pour clean water on you and wash away all of your sins. This is really powerful. And this is the great blessing that we have when we are baptized. I mean, think about it. Life would be really hard if you didn't have the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And if you didn't have the ability to go to the sacrament of confession. You know, once those sins are wiped away, then what happens? Then we commit other sins. It's no longer original sin. It's the sins that we commit. So, the actual sins that we commit in our lives. But we have the ability to get them washed away every time we go to confession. Another great example of God's mercy. Okay, I want to look at this gospel now. And there are a number of different, we can look at a couple of different aspects of it. So let's just go right into it. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fattened cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm, another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then the king said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out therefore into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' The servants went out into the streets and gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to meet the guests, he saw a man there not dressed in a wedding garment. He said to him, 'My friend, how is it you came in here without a wedding garment?' But he was reduced to silence. Then the king said to his attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet and cast him into the darkness outside, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth. Many are invited, but few are chosen.'" It's a tough parable, isn't it? But the message here, and again, there are a number of ways we can look at this. Obviously, Jesus was rejected by the chosen people. The Jews rejected Jesus, and therefore many of the Jews did, but then he took his message to the Gentiles. And many of them embraced his message, whereas his own people at first, especially, rejected him. So that's one way to look at it. But the danger of looking at the parable in that way is we can look at it as happening, something that happened 2,000 years ago, and think, well, it's a good thing we don't reject Jesus the way those people did. You know, it doesn't become personal. And this is meant to be a personal message as well. The other way to look at it is the kingdom of heaven. We are all able to go to heaven, every one of us. We are born and able to go to heaven because of the fact that Jesus opened up the gates of heaven by virtue of his death and resurrection. He opened up the gates of heaven. So you and I, it's possible for us to go to heaven. We have been redeemed, in other words. Is it a guarantee? No, it's not. And unfortunately, many people, nobody knows for sure how many, the church has never made a statement about this, but many people don't care that much about going to heaven. And it's quite possible that they don't end up there. And then you know the deal. If you don't end up in heaven, you don't like hang out in purgatory for the rest of eternity. You're going to be going to hell. So ultimately, you're either going to heaven or hell. Purgatory is for those people who will be one day going to heaven, but who are being purified. So it's a temporary place. But don't think that it's a guarantee that you'll get to heaven. That's why it's important for us to really take the Lord's words seriously. Do you really want to go to heaven? If you do, you're going to do a little bit of work, right? You're going to stay close to Jesus. You're going to pray. You're going to go to confession. You're going to receive communion because you need the grace that will enable you to end up in heaven. You also need to read Scripture, because how are you ever going to know what you're supposed to do if you don't listen to the Lord? You're also going to want to read the teachings of the church. What does the church say about this or that? Because that's how you'll be able to get to heaven. That's the only way it's going to happen, is if you know what's expected of you. Now, let's look at this story another way, this parable another way. How about Mass? Do you appreciate being able to go to Mass and uniting yourself with Jesus? Remember, you're part of this mystical body of Christ. We're going to get a little deep here. Hang on, it won't be too bad. And offering yourself as part of Christ to the Father, which is what happens at every Holy Mass. It's a representation, or representation, however you want to phrase it, of what happened on Calvary. It's the same sacrifice that took place 2,000 years ago. And again, this is not an easy concept, but essentially what is happening here is you and I, when we go to Mass, we're being transported to Calvary, or Calvary is being transported to us, however you want to look at it. And as part of Christ's mystical body, we can offer that sacrifice to the Father. In other words, we're up on the cross with Christ at that point. And it's a really powerful and great, it's a powerful action and great privilege to be able to do that. When we're at Mass, also we can receive Holy Communion. And I want to talk about, you know, this whole parable was about the great gift given to us by the Lord, this wonderful generosity, and are we taking advantage of the gift? Now, every day we have the ability to go to daily Mass. Are we doing it? Now, not everybody can. But I want to put this out there because maybe you can. Maybe you could start small. I wouldn't say automatically that you're going to go every day. That's something I did. But it was when I was really experiencing some scary things in life, and I had my real conversion experience. And the Mass was very comforting to me. And I was able to get up a little early and go before work. And I've kept it up all these years since then. Trying to think when I first started going daily. I think it was about 2004. So look at that. All these years, 10, 13 years, or 12 years, right? Yeah, 12 years from 2004 to 2016 that I've been going daily, with a few exceptions. But it was life-changing for me when I first started doing that. So I want you to consider that. And as a in an effort to really impress upon you what happens when you receive Holy Communion, I want to talk a little bit about the fruits of Holy Communion. And I'm going to turn to the Catechism of the Catholic Church to give you an idea. This is what happens when you participate in Mass and receive our Lord in Holy Communion. Because there is sometimes a tendency that we have to not really appreciate what happens when we receive Holy Communion, because we don't necessarily see the effects. And we don't necessarily see the effects, but the Church teaches the following. The fruits of Holy Communion. Holy Communion augments our union with Christ. This is paragraph 1391 of the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in case you have one at home and you want to check this paragraph 1391. Holy Communion augments our union with Christ. The principal fruit of receiving the Eucharist in Holy Communion is an intimate union with Christ Jesus. Now, you want to get close to the Lord, which you should want to do. Holy Communion is the best way to do that. Indeed, the Lord said, "He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him." That's John 6:56. Life in Christ has its foundation in the Eucharistic banquet. What material food produces in our bodily life, Holy Communion wonderfully achieves in our spiritual life. Communion with the flesh of the risen Christ, a flesh given life and giving life through the Holy Spirit, preserves, increases, and renews the life of grace received at baptism. This growth in Christian life needs the nourishment of Eucharistic communion, the bread for our pilgrimage until the moment of death, when it will be given to us as a viaticum, which is our last meal, food for the journey. It's a Latin expression. But the bottom line is, Holy Communion draws us closer to Christ. It nourishes us. It nourishes our soul as food would nourish the body. It's very important. Holy Communion separates us from sin, paragraph 1393. The body of Christ we receive in Holy Communion is given up for us, and the blood we drink shed for the many for the forgiveness of sins. For this reason, the Eucharist cannot unite us to Christ without at the same time cleansing us from past sins and preserving us from future sins. As bodily nourishment restores lost strength, so the Eucharist strengthens our charity, which tends to be weakened in daily life. And this living charity wipes away venial sins. So when we receive Holy Communion, our venial sins are removed. You don't necessarily need to go to confession to have your venial sins absolved, but the Church does recommend that. So know that when you receive communion, your venial sins are taken away. The unity of the mystical body. The Eucharist makes the Church. Here's another fruit of the Eucharist. Those who receive the Eucharist are united more closely to Christ. Through it, Christ unites them to all the faithful in one body, the Church. Communion renews, strengthens, and deepens this incorporation into the Church already achieved by baptism. So, when I receive Holy Communion, I draw closer to you and to all the members of the Church. The Eucharist commits us to the poor. To receive in truth the body and blood of Christ given up for us, we must recognize Christ in the poorest. The Eucharist and the unity of Christians. The more painful the experience of the divisions of the Church, which break the common participation in the table of the Lord, the more urgent are our prayers to the Lord that the time of complete unity among all who believe in him may return. So that's something else we want to keep in mind. The fact that we want to pray for closer union among everyone in the Church and those who are separated, those who have fallen away from the Catholic Church. So there are just a couple of the benefits of receiving Holy Communion. And I want to challenge you. Try to go to daily Mass one extra time per week. And again, I understand you might not be able to, but give it a try. Can you wake up a little earlier on Saturday? Can you wake up during the week? If you start doing this, your life is going to be changed, and you will grow closer to life. To the Lord, I'm sorry, to life. I am out of time. I'm trying to wrap up quickly. God willing, I'm going to see you tomorrow on the show. I hope you'll be able to join me. Until then, have a wonderful night. God bless you.